Welcome to the Christ Church Vienna podcast, gathering the theological and liturgical resources of Christ Church, the Anglican Church in Vienna, Austria. For more information about the ministry of Christ Church, visit us at christchurchvienna.org. You are listening to the Book of Common Prayer service from December 24th, 2023.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Almighty God, unto whom all hearts be open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of thy Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love thee, and worthily magnify thy holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen.
God spake these words and said, I am the Lord thy God, thou shalt have none other gods but me.
Lord, have mercy upon us, and incline our hearts to keep this law.
Thou shalt not make to thyself any graven image, nor the likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or in the earth beneath, or in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down to them, nor worship them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, and visit the sins of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and show mercy unto thousands in them that love me, and keep my commandments.
Lord, have mercy upon us, and incline our hearts to keep this law.
Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain.
Lord, have mercy upon us, and incline our hearts to keep this law.
Remember that thou keep holy the Sabbath day. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all that thou hast to do, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt do no manner of work, thou and thy son, and thy daughter, and thy manservant, and thy maidservant, thy cattle, and the stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the seventh day, and hallowed it.
Lord, have mercy upon us, and incline our hearts to keep this law.
Honour thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee.
Lord, have mercy upon us, and incline our hearts to keep this law.
Thou shalt do no murder.
Lord, have mercy upon us, and incline our hearts to keep this law.
Thou shalt not commit adultery.
Lord, have mercy upon us, and incline our hearts to keep this law.
Thou shalt not steal.
Lord, have mercy upon us, and incline our hearts to keep this law.
Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor.
Lord, have mercy upon us, and incline our hearts to keep this law.
Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his servant, nor his maid, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is his.
Lord, have mercy upon us, and write all these thy laws in our hearts, we beseech thee.
We join our prayers with the church throughout the world in the collect set for the fourth Sunday in Advent. O Lord, raise up, we pray thee, thy power, and come among us. And with great might succor us, that whereas through our sins and wickedness we are sore let and hindered in running the race that is set before us, thy bountiful grace and mercy may speedily help and deliver us, through the satisfaction of thy Son, our Lord, to whom with thee and the Holy Ghost be honor and glory, world without end. Amen.
A reading from the second book of Samuel. Now when the king was settled in his house, and the Lord had given him rest from all his enemies around him, the king said to the prophet Nathan, See now, I am living in a house of cedar, but the ark of God stays in a tent. Nathan said to the king, Go, do all that you have in mind, for the Lord is with you. But that same night, the word of the Lord came to Nathan. Go and tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, are you the one to build me a house to live in? I have not lived in a house since the day I brought up the people of Israel from Egypt to this day, but I have been moving around in a tent and a tabernacle. Whenever I have moved about among all the people of Israel, did I ever speak a word with any of the tribal leaders of Israel, whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, saying, why have you not built me a house of cedar? Now therefore thus you shall say to my servant David, thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the pasture, from following the sheep, to be prince over my people Israel, and I have been with you wherever you went, and have cut off all your enemies from before you, and I will make for you a great name, like the name of the great ones of the earth, and I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, so that they may live in their own place, and be disturbed no more, and evildoers shall afflict them no more, as formerly from the time that I appointed judges over my people Israel, and I will give you rest from all your enemies. Moreover, the Lord declares to you that the Lord will make you a house. Your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm today is Psalm 89 and can be found on page 531. Psalm 89 on page 531, verses 1 to 4 and verses 20 to 27, and we'll say them antiphonally. My song shall be always of the loving kindness of the Lord. With my mouth will I ever be showing thy truth from one generation to another.
Mercy shall be set up forever, and thy truth shalt thou establish in the heavens.
I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David my servant.
Establish forever, and set up thy throne from one generation to another.
Thou spakest sometime in visions unto thy saints, and sayest, I have laid help upon one that is mighty. I have exalted one chosen out of the people.
I have found David my servant, with my holy oil have I anointed him.
My hand shall hold him fast, and my arm shall strengthen him.
The enemy shall not be able to do him violence, the son of wickedness shall not hurt him.
I will smite down his foes before his face, and plague them that hate him.
My truth also, and my mercy shall be with him, and in my name shall his form be exalted.
I will set his dominion also in the sea, and his right hand in the floods.
He shall call me, thou art my Father, my God, and my strong salvation.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost,
as it was in the beginning, now, and ever shall be,
world without end. Amen.
The Holy Gospel is written in the first chapter of the Gospel according to St. Luke, beginning to read at the 26th verse. Glory be to thee, O Lord. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you. But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be.
The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He'll be called Son of God. And now, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her was said to be barren, for nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. This is the gospel of Christ. Praise be to thee, O Christ.
We make a confession of our common faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one Catholic and Apostolic Church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be found acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. This morning, I'd like to take a look at our reading from 2 Samuel. And here we find King David turning his attention to his home and the idea of being at home, only to be surprised in a series of interactions with the prophet Nathan. Here's what David needed to learn from Nathan. Rest is not secured in a place, but by a person, a promised king. So let's take a look at that reading. The passage begins with David experiencing an unprecedented peace in his kingdom. Notice how the narrator frames it. The king is settled in his house, and the Lord has given him rest. After decades of turmoil, running for his life from his predecessor, King Saul, David ascends the throne only to then have to immediately fend off the Philistines. Once Jerusalem is safe again, he brings the Ark of the Covenant back to the city. This Ark, housed in the tabernacle, is the most sacred artifact of the Israelite people because it was the focal point of God's physical presence among his people. So having brought the tabernacle and the Ark back to Jerusalem, David is finally able to stop and reflect on all that has happened. Now, if we look back just a couple of chapters, we will read that when David became king, carpenters and masons built him a permanent home of cedar in Zion. It is from this house that David looks upon the tabernacle and determines that it is time to build a permanent home for the ark, a permanent home for God's presence, a temple. Interestingly, this was always the plan, going back to the time of Moses, somewhere between 300 and 400 years earlier. It was always the plan that God's people would settle in the promised land, eventually find a time of rest, and when this time of peace arrived, God would finally establish a dwelling place for his name, a place where the people of Israel could bring their tithes and offerings and make their sacrifices. It took a few hundred years to establish such a peace, but King David had determined it was now time to build this temple. And so he declared to the prophet Nathan that he shall build a house for the ark of God. And then that very night, Nathan received a word from the Lord, and he returned to David with a rather different idea. The Lord's message was quite clear and comes in the form of a question. Are you the one to build me a house to live in? You want to build me a house, God asks. God then rehearsed both his own history and David's personal history to make a rather definitive point. I'm God. I never needed a home. My work was always to establish a home for my people, a place where they would be at rest, a place where they would be free from the tyranny and exploitation of their enemies. And I plucked you, David, up from the fields to lead my people to this place. You can go ahead and build a temple for my ark, but make no mistake, I'm the one building a house. God then tells David how he will build him a house. He will raise up David's offspring after him and establish his throne for all eternity. Your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever, God says. And this God did. Solomon was David's son, and he did, in fact, build the temple. And Solomon had a son who had a son who had a son, and so on. All the way down, several more generations, all written down in a genealogy in Matthew's gospel, by the way, until a man named Joseph also had a son he claimed through marriage and naming, a son called Jesus. This promise made by God to David that day, that he, God, would build David a house, an everlasting kingdom on an eternal throne, is what is called the Davidic covenant. And from this promise emerged the hope of a Messiah, a king in the line of David who would ultimately set things right and bring about the peace that God was establishing, bring about the salvation of God's people. This was not just peace and salvation in the sense of being saved from enemies, but true peace. The primary barrier to peace with God from the very beginning was the rebellious and sinful spirit of God's people, much like the sadness, frustration, and dysfunction we all experience at home sometimes. It starts there. There's a sinful tendency in each of us that makes it impossible for us to achieve true peace on our own. And so God promised that this Son of David would come and bring about peace and salvation. And this Messiah was always associated with this promise. Whether it was the prophet Amos preaching about the restoration of David's booth, or the prophet Isaiah talking about the establishing of David's eternal throne, or the prophet Jeremiah referencing David's righteous branch that will reign in wisdom and establish safety, all of these messianic promises come about. They are fulfilled by that distant son, that son of Joseph, that son of David. This is why the angel Gabriel tells Joseph, as we heard in our gospel reading, he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. The birth of Jesus was the birth of the Messiah, the one who would finally establish peace for God's people, a peace he established through not just being born in a manger or ruling from a throne, but by dying on a cross so that peace with God might be accomplished, that sins might be forgiven, because Jesus took on the punishment that we deserve, giving us salvation and peace. And so as we bring Advent to a close and turn our attention to Christmas, let us reflect one last time on what it means that Christ Jesus was incarnated, that he came to his people. Today, I hope the point of this promise in 2 Samuel is clear. Rest is not secured in a place, but by a person. a promised king. And as we ponder our own sin and need for redemption, the challenges and difficulties of our own homes, as we long for and pine for a place of true peace, true rest, a place where we are free from both the punishment for our sins and the sins themselves, a home worth living in, let us take comfort in the promised King who brings about this salvation. Let us believe in Christ Jesus, that messianic ruler who came and died and rose again, that we might have peace. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for promising us true rest and then sending a promised King, your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, to die that we might have his peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Let us pray for the whole state of Christ Church militant here in earth. Almighty and ever-living God, who by thy holy apostle has taught us to make prayers and supplications and to give thanks for all men, we humbly beseech thee most mercifully to accept our alms and oblations and to receive these our prayers which we offer unto thy divine majesty, beseeching thee to inspire continually the universal church with the spirit of truth, unity, and concord. And grant that all they that do confess thy holy name may agree in the truth of thy holy word and live in unity and godly love. We beseech thee also to save and defend all Christian kings, princes, and governors, especially thy servant, Charles, our king, Alexander, the president of the Republic of Austria, and the leaders of the nations from which we come, that under them we may be godly and quietly governed. And grant unto their whole councils and to all that are put in authority under them, that they may truly and indifferently minister justice to the punishment of wickedness and vice, and to the maintenance of thy true religion and virtue. Give grace, O Heavenly Father, to all bishops and curates, that they may both by their life and doctrine set forth thy true and lively word, and rightly and duly administer thy holy sacraments. And to all thy people give thy heavenly grace, and especially to this congregation here present, that with meek heart and due reverence they may hear and receive thy holy word, truly serving thee in holiness and righteousness all the days of their life. And we most humbly beseech thee of thy goodness, O Lord, to comfort and succor all them who in this transitory life are in trouble, sorrow, need, sickness, or any other adversity. We also bless thy holy name for all thy servants departed this life in thy faith and fear, beseeching thee to give us grace so to follow their good examples, that with them we may be partakers of thy heavenly kingdom. Grant this, O Father, for Jesus Christ's sake, our only mediator and advocate. Amen. Ye that do truly and earnestly repent you of your sins, and are in love and charity with your neighbors, and intend to lead a new life, following the commandments of God, and walking from henceforth in his holy ways, draw near with faith, and take this holy sacrament to your comfort, and make your humble confession to Almighty God, meekly kneeling upon your knees. Almighty God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, maker of all things, judge of all men, we acknowledge and bewail our manifold sins and wickedness, which we from time to time most grievously have committed, by thought, word, and deed, against thy divine majesty, provoking most justly thy wrath and indignation against us. We do earnestly repent and are heartily sorry for these our doings. The remembrance of them is grievous unto us. The burden of them is intolerable. Have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us, most merciful Father. For thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ's sake, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may ever hereafter serve and please thee in newness of life, to the honor and glory of thy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, of his great mercy hath promised forgiveness of sins to all them that with hearty repentance and true faith turn unto him. Have mercy upon you. Pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and bring you to everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Hear what comfortable words our Saviour Christ saith unto all that truly turn to him. Come unto me, all that travail and are heavy laden, and I will refresh you. So God loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, to the end that all that believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Hear also what St. Paul saith. This is a true saying, and worthy of all men to be received, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Hear also what St. John saith. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto our Lord God. It is very meet, right, and our bounden duty that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, almighty, everlasting God. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, Holy, 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 Lord God of hosts, heaven and earth are full of thy glory. Glory be to thee, O Lord Most High. Amen. We do not presume to come to this thy table, O merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in thy manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under thy table, but thou art the same Lord, whose property is always to have mercy. Grant us, therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of thy dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen. Almighty God, our heavenly Father, who of thy tender mercy didst give thine only Son, Jesus Christ, to suffer death upon the cross for our redemption, who made there, by his one oblation of himself once offered, a full, perfect, and sufficient sacrifice, oblation and satisfaction for the sins of the whole world, and did institute, and in his holy gospel command us to continue, a perpetual memory of that his precious death until his coming again. Hear us, O merciful Father, we most humbly beseech thee, and grant that we, receiving these thy creatures of bread and wine, according to thy Son, our Savior Jesus Christ's holy institution, in remembrance of his death and passion, may be partakers of his most blessed body and blood, who in the same night that he was betrayed took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it, gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, after supper, he took the cup. When he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of this, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. Do this as oft as ye shall drink it in remembrance of me. Amen. As we await his coming in glory, let us pray as our Savior has taught us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. O Lord and Heavenly Father, we, thy humble servants, entirely desire thy fatherly goodness, mercifully to accept this our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, most humbly beseeching thee to grant that by the merits and death of thy Son, Jesus Christ, and through faith in his blood, we and all thy whole church may obtain remission of our sins and all other benefits of his passion. And here we offer and present unto thee, O Lord, ourselves, our souls and bodies, to be a reasonable, holy, and lively sacrifice unto thee, humbly beseeching thee that all we who are partakers of this holy communion may be fulfilled with thy grace and heavenly benediction. And although we be unworthy through our manifold sins to offer unto thee any sacrifice, Yet we beseech thee to accept this our bounden duty and service, not weighing our merits, but pardoning our offenses. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, by whom and with whom, in the unity of the Holy Ghost, all honor and glory be unto thee, O Father Almighty, world without end. Amen. Amen. Christ, the Son of Righteousness, shine upon you, scatter the darkness from before your path, and make you ready to meet him when he comes in glory. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, be amongst you now and remain with you always. Amen.